Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. Kirk, the reality is I'm probably shooting 20% from three right now, this stage of my life. That's the reality. Defense, forget about it. I mean, you thought Harden played bad defense. You don't want to see me play D anymore. So that's where I am right now, Kirk. Kirk, by the way, did you ever, just growing up, did you play a lot of basketball or no?
I actually did. I played basketball all the way up until I got to high school. I played freshman year for a little bit, but
I love like, baseball give me that football. More. Really?
You know, I love baseball. I was a baseball player all the way up until my junior year. And then my football coach said, look, man, you're going to go to college more so doing what you do on the football field than striking out every third at bat in baseball. So,
hey, you're the Hall of Fame. Yeah. You're the Hall of Fame. You're going 1-for-3 your entire career. You're good.
Yeah, but I was striking out a lot. It was, you know, my thing was in baseball, it was either I either hit a home run or I struck out. That was it. There was no in between. Right? There was
I love it.
A home run or a strikeout. So,
by the way, Kirk, fun. Can I just tell you, you know what's such BS? Here you got me, Jesse, and Curtis all listening in. And here you are saying, yeah, you know, I played basketball, this. And then I was playing some baseball. That was my favorite. But then I just went to the NFL and decided to go play pro. Like, that's so ridiculous to have that type of athleticism. I can't comprehend
I don't know if it was
that.
Athleticism. I just started lifting weights in my junior year of high school, and I couldn't make the throw from third base to first base anymore. So they moved me to right field, which was probably
– You were too swole, bro.
Yeah. So you got to think right field. Man, everybody who plays right field, you're just like, just go out there. Just go out there. Man, shout out Yasiel Puig, who used to make that look fun. But right field was where they put the worst fielder. You know, The worst fielder goes to right field. So they're saying I couldn't field anymore, but I had a nice little arm, but it was just football became my calling. I loved football growing up. It was a passion of mine, but my body started to develop into more of a football bod. And I was just vertically challenged when it comes to basketball. So once you know how it is, those guys that start growing, it's like everybody comes in at the same height. Right in freshman year in high school,
some people start growing,
and some people hit the pause button, and then you're looking at the senior yearbook like, what happened? So that's what happened with me. I stopped growing.
You ever see this, Kirk? Actually, a couple good examples. You know, Anthony Davis. A lot of the time, when people talk about how, damn, how is he, you know, a skilled big man that could bring the ball up and down the court and coordinated, not just, you know, bringing it up. I mean, he could cross over a guard. He could cross over a – that's just how skilled he is. He grew, I think, 6-7 inches in high school over a summer. Scottie Pippen, you remember that the documentary Last Dance, there was a profile, I think, in episode 1 or 2. I forget which one it was. And it was just on Pippen.
Correct.
He goes – he's at Central Arkansas or Central – I forgot, you know, what college he was at. He was basically – couldn't make the team, and then eventually goes through this growth spurt, and that player that didn't seem like a basketball player became a legit basketball player. You became a legit football player.
I was a late bloomer.
at least you bloomed. Okay, let me play this real quick because it's going to go on your point that you were mentioning with Kyrie. Actually, why don't you explain the Pat Bev tweet real quick?
Well, I think Patrick Beverly, hopefully, and I'll quote, I think some of it. I don't have the actual full quote. But, you know, Patrick Beverly basically said, if LeBron James says we're hooping, oh, we're hooping. I mean, that's just that's what it is. LeBron has a lot of power, right? And a lot of people understand that. Oh, I actually have it right here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
This was 3 days ago, and it says, Hoopers, say what y'all want. If at King James, you know, LeBron James' Twitter handle, said he's hooping when we all hooping. It's not personal, only business. Stay woke. And when people give you that, he hit you with the hashtag stay woke. I mean, stay understanding. Understand what's going on. Okay, that's what stay woke means. When somebody says, "Oh, he's woke," that means he's understanding. He understands.
Okay, is that a shot at LeBron or it's not at all? It's just saying this is the most powerful man in the league, no question about it. If Bron says we're going to Orlando and we're going to give this thing a shot, then we're going to Orlando.
Correct. Mm-hmm. If the best player in the league says I'm going to Orlando, best believe we all going to Orlando. Like if LeBron didn't say nothing and Giannis got up there and said, "Everybody, we're going to Orlando." Man, bro, you don't sit your corny stuff down. Right? Like, man, you don't cornball. Nah,
you haven't been to the finals one time, right? Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Man, you ain't got enough hours. That's what the guys in my team, my older veterans, used to always say. You don't have enough hours yet to be talking like that. You ain't got enough hours. We can't listen to you. You ain't even been to the finals yet. But LeBron James has built up that cachet, right? He's this generation's, you know, Michael Jordan, right?
Sure.
The best player in the game.
Absolutely.
The guy that he's going to have his own documentary at some point. And we're going to marvel at how great this player is. And when he speaks, we all listen. And I'm not just talking NBA players. I think the world listens. Okay? We definitely know news media listens.
Of course.
To whatever LeBron has to say. And so I think
he made a documentary out of Shut Up and Dribble.
Yeah, it really is. What Patrick Beverley is basically saying is that when that guy says I'm hooping, I'm going to Orlando. Who am I not to go out to Orlando? Who am I to not to say, nah, I'm okay.
And I think Kirk, this is, you know, part of that tweet, the timing of it, right? June 14th. It was these conversations, these dialogue going. I spent time on it this week. I really actually loved. I think that whether you liked the messenger of Kyrie or you liked the messenger of Dwight Howard or even Avery Bradley,
right?
I was a fan of the message, and I thought, okay, well, if this is what some of these players are asking the NBA to do, or putting some pressure on owners and saying, look, it's not just on the players to go give back to our community. We're making you guys a ton of money. The value of your organization is worth so much more because of your product. We are your product. So if ultimately what comes out of this is the NBA then says, you know what, they're right. These players are right. I understand why they're doing it. Let's do more. Let's find ways to be more proactive. If there's one league that's going to do that, it's going to be the NBA. But let me play this clip real quick. So this is ESPN NBA insider Amin Al-Hassan. He was on the morning show with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. He's talking about Kyrie and really pointing out what you're mentioning, Kirk, that he has never talked about Black Lives Matter in the past, and really feeling more this is about a anti-LeBron stance.
There were two calls. That was the call that everyone knows about happened on Friday. That was a bigger
call. Yeah, then there was a call with LeBron, not only that he happened to be on.
There was a smaller call a few days before that that had about 40 or 50 guys on it. And from my understanding, talking to two people who were on that call, the name LeBron came up a zillion times. LeBron ain't going to run this, and LeBron thinks he controls everything. That's how that dude was talking. The second call, not as much because there are more people, and also because Chris Paul and some of the, you know, quote unquote, some of the homies were there on the call. So it wasn't as big of a focus. But that first call, the name LeBron came up a lot. And to me, again, based on what I've heard and what I know, it feels like to me this is more about Kyrie's imaginary rivalry with LeBron than it does have to do with real issues. And which is why I say, do we want to talk about the Kyrie issue or the Avery Bradley issue? Because I think Avery Bradley represents players who actually do care about this and are going about this the right way.
Kirk, that kind of falls along the line of what you were saying. But I think the – because I've always questioned why is everyone going after Kyrie this much. But I think there must be a reason for it. Amin Al-Hassan tries kind of giving some of the details into that front. Why has he got a beef with LeBron? There's no reason to have a beef with LeBron. He's LeBron James.
Well, I think that there's just some underlying issues that these two have had. Now, have they shaken hands and gave out bro hugs? Mm-hmm. They've done that before, but there still could be some, you know, little sibling rivalry in there, right? We all have that little sibling rivalry I know I got that with a couple of my buddies. You know, you always throw a little jab in there. You try to throw a wrench into things a little bit. And I think that's what you may have. A lot of guys may be scared to talk when LeBron is around. LeBron carries a lot of weight. And he's got some guys on his side, right? When you talk about Chris Paul, right, the Carmelo Anthonys, guys that he's played with, they'll go back and say, hey, because when you're a LeBron guy, you're a LeBron guy. You're good. You're part of the inner circle. When you're not a LeBron guy, you could be an outcast, mm-hmm. right? You could be an outcast. That's why I think a lot of people were surprised. I know I was surprised with Dwight Howard. I didn't think that he would be a LeBron guy, and yet he turned into a LeBron guy, or at least for three quarters of a season. And now all of a sudden, maybe a little bit kind of what I expected from the beginning of the season, we're seeing some of this outspokenness from Dwight, because we didn't see this at all. Think about it, all season long, Dwight hasn't said a word. He's been mm-hmm. But, you know, listening to Amin there, you know, having spoken to people on those conference calls, definitely we all know people speak differently when certain people aren't around or are not in the room. And I'm just not so sure everybody's all in on what's going on with the NBA. I think they've made, you know, all the concessions, right, for this. July 31st, Disney-wide World of Sports. But in the back of my mind, I'm saying, I love basketball. But do I love basketball for 3 months away, isolated, playing without fans? Like, do I love it that much?
You think a lot of players are thinking that?
Come on, man. These are grown men now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money.
Well, and I'm assuming that money is the driving force.
Yeah, and now it's – and I'm being told I can't do this. I mean, I go back to my years in the NFL. And here I am just going to a 5-6 week training camp. And you talk about leaving the compound. I couldn't leave – Where I was in Buffalo, we had our training camp. Mm-hmm. I always remember it. St. John's Fisher College. Mm-hmm. That's where we have it at. For everybody out there, you go look it up. It's out past Rochester, New York. I think it's, I forgot where it's at. It's about
They're
going to
make you stay there for 3 months.
It's about 90 minutes from Buffalo. And I always know that drive up to St. John's Fisher College. And once you got there, it was all about sports.
Was it all green?
Yeah, it was
all
green.
Trees.
Yeah, you know how it is. You start getting to Western New York, it's all green. And you're like, wow, this is different. This ain't California. This ain't smelling cows and stuff like that when you get too far out, right? This is totally different. You want to drive during the day. At night, it gets a little scary, right? You can't see nothing. Ain't no street lamps. But I do know that. When I was there in training camp and I got a day off, man, I drove one night. We had a night off, just a night. Okay. You had to be back in the morning at 8 o'clock. All right. We had the night off and we got off at 5 o'clock. I drove home just to sleep in my own bed to drive back 90 minutes in the morning to get back just to sleep in my own bed to give me some sense of
normalcy. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I did that. And you know what? The next day, I had an amazing day. I felt refreshed, and that lasted me 2 or 3, 4 more days of being down at St. John's Fisher College, staying in a dormitory, practicing and going through the rigors of a training camp. I'm just saying that I'm not an NBA player with the kind of money that those guys may have to a point where, why am I doing this again? Because everyone thinks that all these players are in it for a championship, and they're not.
Well, and it's fair.
Talent. Mm-hmm. They are not in it for a championship. Some players are playing because it is just their job. I'm going to play to the best of my ability. If I don't win a championship, I'm not going to cry over it. I'm not going to be upset. I'll collect my check and I'll go home. And I think that's, you'll find more players like that in the NBA than a lot of people really don't even can understand about.
Okay, well, Kirk, let's. I want to stay with that for a second because here's this. All the details came out yesterday, and a lot of people are just kind of seeping through the details for the NBA. I think 113 pages, something along those lines. Okay, mm-hmm. amenities are going to be great. You're at an unbelievable resort. They won't be at what college? What college were you at?
St. John's Fisher College.
St. John's Fisher College. So it's going to be a little bit different, right? There's players' lounge, NBA 2K, TV, gaming, pool tables. There's be trails, daily entertainment, 24-hour VIP concierge. Okay, all that stuff. And I just set that up only to kind of give a little bit of the story of what it's going to look like. All right, that's all great and dandy. It's going to get boring after a week. You know what I mean? It's going to get boring after 2 weeks. It will.
Yes,
it will. It's going to be one of those where – and I know what you're saying about not everybody cares about winning an NBA championship. You're right. Everybody has a different reason for their passion.
Correct.
LeBron is not only trying to win an NBA championship. LeBron is trying to win with his third different team.
Correct.
Have three finals MVPs with three different squads. Giannis is trying to get his first championship. There are a few players, and many of them, I'm not going to say a few, but when you have 22 teams that are going to be a part of this bubble, and I would say 85% of them already know they don't have a shot at winning an NBA championship, you're right. They might look at this a lot differently than some of these other guys or some of these elite players. So I don't question that. Like, I definitely understand what you're saying about and by the way, I haven't even got into the COVID-19 part of it, which if you listen to John Ireland, who's got amazing contacts, what he said to me, you know, a couple of days ago, he said, look, I've been told, be cautious. This is the plan, but it doesn't mean that this is going to run smoothly. This doesn't mean that when basketball gets started on July 30th, that by October 12th, somebody's going to be crowned a champ and everybody's going to sing Kumbaya. I'm sure there's also a lot of players, aside from everything that you just mentioned. Also, there's the risk factor that a lot of them have in their mind. Maybe they want to go through, maybe they don't.
Yeah. It's some that are probably just not on board, but nobody wants to be that guy to go against the NBA and what LeBron James and the players have already agreed upon. Nobody wants to be that guy, Alan. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be the
plus Debbie Downer. Plus fans right now. I mean, I'm just, you know, speaking from a fan perspective. A lot of fans are there, want everything to get sports back. So there's part of that as well where they feel pressure too, not just from the league, but from fans and everything else. But if they don't feel safe, Kirk, I mean, they shouldn't go. I mean, that I think it's that simple. But there's probably this pressure of you're letting your teammates down or something along those lines.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people are letting their teammates down by not going if they don't. But then you got to understand some guys just don't feel comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. I think we've all been there before where one guy, you know, just doesn't feel comfortable, doesn't want to go, and he doesn't go somewhere, right? I mean, there's times where I've been with a group of my friends and, you know, you're just like, man, I just don't feel comfortable. I don't want to go. And you're like, oh, come on, man. And a lot of people are looking, but there's always that one friend that says, hey, everybody, go grab your best clothes. Hey, we going out. You're like, all right, hey, here we go. Let's go. You know, you don't even question it.
I'm going to shower first.
That friend, you know, and say, hey, when we going, we going. That's it. You don't even question it. Wherever you just like, all right, what time I got to be there?
Mm-hmm. Kirk, you know, this anonymous hotline, you see that? You know what that is, the anonymous hotline?
Yeah, I've seen the anonymous hotline. I've seen tweets. And
what player
posts are out there talking about? Someone said that Adam Silver is going to be doing bet checks. That's what's been circulating around social media, which is pretty funny.
I think I was trying to think of when you were talking about Patrick Beverly. I was like, I think Pat Bev might call the anonymous hotline. He might call it on the Lakers. He seems like one of them that would be like, hey, listen, just so you know, I saw Anthony Davis and he was within 4 feet of another player, and I thought you guys should know that.
That's going to be Chris Paul. That. Chris Paul's going to be that player.
Someone's got to do it because D'Angelo Russell's not going to be there.
That's that's a great point. That's a great point on the D'Angelo Russell front. But that is kind of, Kirk, that is kind of funny that all these details that you start seeing, man, it's going to be – I don't know if impossible is the right word. I love the effort. I mean, of course, we're all rooting for the NBA. I can't tell you how excited I am to get basketball back. But damn, it's going to be a challenge. You know what I mean? Yes. Like this is not going to be something, no one should be surprised if this thing doesn't work out as planned.
Yeah, I think right now we're all optimistic, and yet we're still 6 weeks away from the actual start date. and we're all optimistic, and you're seeing what's going on throughout the country. You're seeing some restaurants closing again in the state of Texas. Florida is saying that they've, you know, some people are saying that they reopened too early. We're seeing the second wave of the coronavirus start to have its uptick in the country. And you just hope that in the next 6 weeks, it can all die down, right? And give us the NBA back. I mean, I'm all for it. I want the NBA back. Trust me, I do. But I think if it was a situation in which if it becomes too dangerous for some players.
Sure.
I don't want people or certain players to be ridiculed or shunned away for doing what they
feel. For not feeling comfortable.
For not being. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to understand, every year, and I've always been like this. I'm a creature of habit, man.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with is when I retired from the NFL. That was so hard, man. It was hard.
Mm.
Because every year, my body knew that come the after 4th of July, heading into late July, August, September, October, November, December, my body was trained, has been trained since the age of 8 years old for football, the physicality of football, since I was eight.
Mm.
It was trained. And it knew that it wasn't going to do a lot of work come February. February was done. It was done, right? If I had I been to a Super Bowl or a playoff run, you would have that extra. But my body just knew to shut it down right when New Year's came. So for about, I would say, a good almost 6 months, my body was programmed and ready. And for the first time I remember when my body didn't have to do that, and it was a weird feeling.
Mm.
And I bring that up because as a creature of habit, as I was, a lot of these NBA players are creatures of habit as well.
Of course.
They this is their summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, currently, the NBA season would be over. We would be getting ready for the NBA draft right now.
Mm-hmm.
We will be getting ready for the next crop of NBA players. We'll be getting ready for a possible summer league coming up. Mm-hmm. In coming weeks, while other guys are redefining their game, having their surgeries, getting ready to move forward to, you know, next season. And yet now you have to rework the body again. A lot of
gotta
guys
hit
are going to be thrown
gotta
off.
Got to hit that reset button.
A lot of guys are going to be thrown off by this, too. And if I'm a guy who's, like I said, it's different when there's just some dudes who just go out there and hoop, right? There's just it don't matter. You roll the ball mm-hmm. out there,
and they're ready
on Venice Beach, mm-hmm. and they're like, "Look, give me a couple seconds. Let me stretch it." Some of them don't even have to stretch.
Mm-hmm. Jamal Crawford,
let's go. Yeah, Jamal Crawford, throw the ball in Venice Beach. He ready to go get buckets. That's just what
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some guys who mentally
mm-hmm.
just may not be there, and that's what scares me about Orlando is getting the guys out who don't necessarily are all in with the guys who are all in. Get that. Find out who is there for the right reasons, and the guys who are there for the wrong reasons, get them out of there.
All right, 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. So if you know someone who's working as a healthcare provider, a firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city, and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. We got halftime coming up next. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Kirk, so give you a quick little rundown of halftime here. It's going to be very, very easy for you to get yourself caught up to speed here. So basically at halftime, we got Jesse and we got Curtis. We're all coming up with a topic, and then we're just going to dialogue on that topic. Curtis is kind of known for halftime as kind of the lead man here. He sets up things, the angles that he takes. Curtis, why don't you get things started for us today?
I had a tease ready, but it's all good. It's okay. I'll see.
I was worried about the clock. I was worried about the clock. Good. But just always be ready. I'll get it to you. What do you got tonight?
So I know you guys marked today on your calendars. It's National Eat Your Veggies Day. I know you guys are excited.
Oh, look at that. I had no veggies today.
Yeah, wait, me either. I don't remember the last time I had a veggie. But you know the company Green Giant, the guys that do the peas and whatever other vegetables do.
Yeah.
So I guess they do a survey every year between August and May, and they find out state by state what the top vegetable is. And I just want to list off a few for you guys because I'm a little surprised here. I'm a little surprised at this, you know. But
so the top vegetable for each state.
By state. I'm not going to name all 50, but I got a handful.
Thank you.
Because there's a common trend here, and I'm a little triggered by it.
Okay. What do you got?
Alabama, broccoli. Arizona, broccoli. Colorado, broccoli. Connecticut, broccoli. Georgia, broccoli. New York, broccoli. And California, broccoli. What the hell is going on? What's up with broccoli? Why not anything else?
I was for sure going to say you was going to say kale for California.
Oh yeah, that's right. That'd have been a great one for California.
Or even kale, like tomato. You know what I mean? But everything is broccoli.
Or are we calling avocados a vegetable or a fruit?
That's a great question.
What do they classify that?
I think they're technically a fruit because tomatoes are technically a vegetable, which doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Yeah, tomatoes are a vegetable. Be both.
Okay, because it was either going to be an avocado or some kale. That's really what California is. I just don't go nowhere seeing nobody ordering broccoli no more.
And it's so there's so many other choices.
The only time I'm eating broccoli is with some beef in it.
I was going to say,
beef, baby.
That's what I always order when I go to Chinese food places. Broccoli beef is baby. The best. Canada Express.
Or beef. Kirk, you go grab you know, a good steak somewhere. It's okay to have some greens on the side, you know, some broccoli or whatever the case is. But I'm with you that beef and broccoli go together. They do.
Mm-hmm. I usually do asparagus. Mm-hmm. And then I regret it that night when I go to the restaurant.
Too much fiber. Okay, so California gets that. Let's see. What's another popular vegetable that's thrown into here, Curtis?
There's only two other ones, and they were, I think, maybe two
out of
states
all 50?
Each. Yeah, everything else was broccoli.
Wow.
The other one was, there was like two states with carrots and two with tomato.
Gross.
That was it.
Okay.
That was maybe
love
one.
I got love for carrots.
I think maybe Idaho had corn, but that's it.
Mm. All right, there you go.
It triggered me. I get my greens another way, but yeah, I'm not a fan of the broccoli.
Okay,
we all know how you get your greens, Curtis.
Yeah, Curtis. Yeah, that's a different conversation. It's a different topic. But Kirk, Curtis tends to get his greens in other ways. Jess, what do you have over there, bud?
So, scrolling on Twitter, I credit this to @A_DancingPenguin. Mm-hmm. He tweeted out yesterday that I would kill for one MLB game a day streamed on YouTube or Twitch being commentated by some of the players who are taking the day off. Imagine Trevor May, Taylor Bauer, or Colin McHugh streaming talking about baseball with fan interactions in chat. #goals. So that kind of thing got me thinking. I know in this NBA protocol, they're allowing the NBA players to attend games on their off days. Now, we're going to be looking for some kind of form of outside entertainment when it comes to watching the games because there's going to be no fans. Why not give an NBA player or two microphones and have them call the game? So my question for you guys is, what team, whether two or three of players, would you want to commentate a game? An NBA game in Orlando.
Okay, so look, Lakers are just such a popular team. That's got to be one of them. What's another team? I think Russell Westbrook would be fun to watch him commentate a game just because I think he's going to say exactly what's on his mind. Kirk, what players stand out to you that would
– What think player here. That stands out to me –
That would be good to call a game. Is that what you're saying,
yeah,
Jesse?
Yeah.
Well, just that would be entertaining. Like, it doesn't have to necessarily. Yeah, like, you know,
Steph Curry won't be there. But actually, I would go if my Warriors were down in Orlando, they won't be there. They'll be getting their first round pick and getting ready for 2020-2021 season.
They're on vacation.
But I would love to see Draymond Green call a game, though. Because Draymond ain't going to hold no punches back. He's like, oh, man, Draymond, this dude's sorry. Good. You know,
Patrick Beverly. Patrick Beverly would be the same way.
Yep, Patrick Beverly. And I would, oh man, we're talking about current players right now. I would love
Jared Dudley would be entertaining. You know, he's a good talker.
Dudley would be the anchor. He'd be the one to kind of lead and make sure
set everything up.
Yeah, definitely. Like I can imagine Jared Dudley on one side and then Patrick Beverly on the other.
Draymond Green, CP3, Dudley.
CP3 would be very professional. CP3 would come suited up, tie on. He would be breaking down stats left and right.
He would come dressed as what's his name from State Farm? Cliff Paul.
He'd
become dressed as Cliff Paul.
I feel like I'm missing someone that would do just a phenomenal job in doing this. Will give us a ton of.
What about someone like Embiid?
No.
What about Embiid, like, as a sideline reporter?
Well, I did just see that Joel Embiid today, a side note, got his driver's license. Shout out to Joel Embiid, finally.
What, it take 6 years or something like that? Okay, but I think you're, Kirk, I think you're right. There's somebody missing. So, okay, Lakers, we already talked about.
I got one. Yeah. I got a guy.
Who's that?
This is entertaining, but for different reasons. Give me Kawhi, because I want to see how awkward it would be.
Kawhi and Brandon Ingram. There it is. Oh my God, that would be the most quietest game ever.
Yeah. We can put the TV on mute and just see if what the closed captioning would say would do.
It would be the same. Putting the TV on mute would be the same thing arena as listening background to that noise.
That's what all it would say is arena background noise. Yeah.
The other players.
And every now and then, it'd be
kind of think of the other player. I don't know if I got another one. Is there a player in the Eastern Conference? You got Toronto, you got Boston, you got...
Yeah, see? It's hard, man.
Jimmy Butler would be good.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Buckets, you know what?
He's got a good YouTube. You ever went on his YouTube channel?
I have not went on his YouTube channel. But he's got
a YouTube channel, and he's great on it. And a lot of it is him like traveling around the world, drinking a lot of different wine. He plays Kevin Hart in a horse game that's very entertaining. But he's very good behind a camera. You know who actually is really good behind a camera too? Did you guys ever see Serge Ibaka?
Yeah,
he has that cooking show.
Yeah, that's how he got sound bites from Kawhi. That's why we got sound bites.
There's a couple players in there.
Okay, and I think my last one I can throw out there a little bit, because he's not on a roster right now. But I think Boogie Cousins would be good.
I think that'd be good.
Why not just invite him? You know what? Just be like, Boogie, someone on the bench is going to pick you up. You're going to be our fill-in guest. You know, he's going to be like a rolling reporter. He's just going to sit down two chairs from another and have like the mic on a selfie stick. And he's going to talk to him later
in the
game.
Little boom mic.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, he'll definitely be on a roster. So he'll eventually find his way on a roster. But I can't think of anybody else. That's thinking of all the NBA players. I don't know why I'm kind of drawing a blank here. We said Rockets.
Yep.
Said Dallas.
Mm-hmm. I mean, from the Clippers, Memphis. I think maybe Lou Williams and
Pat Bev. Pat Bev would be the guy. Pat Bev would be the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat Bev would be the most entertaining.
Dame Lillard, you know, we'll see. Like, there's some guys. Mm-hmm.
Dame, I think, would be good.
Yeah.
Especially if he's not, like, in it, he just let it all out, and I think he'd just be super
entertaining. I feel like Dame would give me more detail than he would commentating, you know?
Mm-hmm. Dame would pull up from 25 feet. Okay, so
he'd wait for the ball to come to him, and then he'd just shoot it.
Kirk, you spent some time on Netflix or too many kids running around, too much going on for you to be doing that?
No, man, I've been to spend some time on Netflix. Hulu's popping, Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. So, I spread it around.
Okay, so yesterday I'm scrolling through on Netflix, and I see this documentary called Magnetic. Have you guys seen that? You guys
Magnetic?
Know what that is?
No.
What is it about?
Curtis?
A science club?
No clue.
Yep, it's a science club. That's exactly what it is. Okay, so it was on their top 10 list. So I'm like, all right, I wonder what this is. I click on it. Basically, it's following these extreme athletes. And the only reason why I got on top 10, I think it came out in 2018 or something along those lines. But it just picked up steam, and now you got a lot of people watching. So to just kind of sum it up, it follows these surfers in Portugal. And this is supposed to be the arguably the best place to surf in the world. Actually, there was a dude in 2018 at this same spot, this German pro surfer, that broke the world record and surfed on a 115-foot wave. Okay?
Okay.
So this documentary gets into more of just these extreme athletes. They do something on skiing, a couple dudes in France. Anyways, it's amazing. Like, you just watch some of this stuff. From my perspective, it's like, what the hell? How does somebody do something like this? And it's, you know, just think of the way they're using the drones, the way how big these waves look. Like, it's just, you can't comprehend that somebody's out there. So I'll ask all three of you. Kirk, I'll start with you. You ever done anything in the extreme world? Have you ever, is there something we don't know about Kirk Morrison? Have you gone bungee jumping, or are you an avid skier? Like, is there anything you do other than, you know, obviously the extreme sport of professional football, but other than football, is there a time in your life that you were doing anything along those lines, skydiving, bungee jumping, any of that?
I have skydived, so okay. I have done that. I actually did that as a active NFL player. It was, I think I've told my wife this story before. She knows the story where, well, but I was dating a young lady at the time. Mm-hmm. This is before I met my wife. And I was a fairly young player. I think it was in my second year of the league. And it was in the off season, kind of what I've been talking about, a lot of these NBA players, right? When you're off season, you get a chance to go out and just live a little bit. But I remember...
You're living the pro football life there, Kirk Morrison.
No, but she said, I want to take you somewhere. We got to mm-hmm. drive out a little ways, but, you know, somewhere it'll be a surprise. So we're driving out. I said, man, we drove
so you have no minutes. Idea this is coming.
No idea, but we're driving about 90 minutes. And in the back great. Of my mind, I'm like, oh, this is perfect. I think we're going probably wine tasting or, you know, because I'm going out toward the country, right? We're out in the country where just either you're going wine tasting or you're doing it. And I remember she said, get off here. And I got off at the exit, and I drove
What part of the country? What part of the country were you in?
I'm in Northern California. So
okay, so you're up in the Bay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm up in the in NorCal. So I turn, mm-hmm. get off the freeway. I look at a sign, and I remember it says, I won't name the name of the hangar, but it was a hangar. And I was like, it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, because she had the aeronautical background as an aeronautical engineer. She mm-hmm. worked on planes and all of this, and it didn't hit me until probably about a minute before we pulled up. I'm like, oh, my God, I know you did not send me here, because I just kind of just – once I pulled up, I knew.
You knew it was going to be skydiving?
It was sky because you saw that it said skydiving,
uh-huh.
pulled up for skydiving. And so I get there, right, and I pull up, and I'm like, oh, my God, oh, like seriously, I got to go. But I had already driven 90-plus minutes, fellas. I'm not wasting the 90-plus minutes. I'm not going to do that.
Let me tell you something, Kirk. There's a lot of people that would have wasted those 90 minutes and just went back the other way. But
I
keep going.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, I was about to. And she mm-hmm. just said, just get out. Just sit around for a little bit. Let me know. Look, don't worry about it. You don't have to. If you just are too uncomfortable, don't worry about it. You'll be safe. So I remember sitting down in the waiting room, right? And I just was like, I just can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what pushed me over the edge?
What's that?
You know what pushed me over the edge?
Mm-hmm.
This little 10-year-old kid comes in and is like, oh, my God, that was awesome. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I don't even know his name. Okay, I just said his name was Timmy. All right.
Little Timmy.
It was like, little Timmy. I was like, oh, little Timmy, how many is that for you? That's my 10th jump of the day. I'm like,
holy oh, God. My God.
I'm like, little Timmy didn't jump 10 times. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and then everybody's kind of looking at me. And remember, all right, I know where our country is. So, yes, I can right now. I can make a joke. Mm-hmm. I'm the only brother up in here. Okay? So I am the black guy at the hangar right now. Everybody's looking mm-hmm. like, Mm-hmm. So now I got to stand up for my people, right?
This becomes a political stance. This is how a political
stand up for
stance.
My people.
I got you. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I stand up for my people. And you know what? I went out and I did it, fellas.
Were you, let me
I did a tandem jump. So with the tandem jump is that you jump with an instructor. And I remember before I jumped with her, I asked her, I said, look, I don't want to do this, but I kind of, I'm almost forced to do it. She says, look, it is going to be fine. You're going to be perfect. She says, I've never had any accidents. I was like, all right. She's like, I actually had just one accident. I said, what? She was like, a guy dislocated his shoulder. I was like, what? Oh. Like, come on. She was like, no, because he didn't tell me that his shoulder dislocates on its own. So she was like trying to crack a joke, but that just got me more tense.
Of course.
And I'm just going to lie. I'm not going to lie. I'm just going through it. I watched the safety video. I got on the plane. And the thing about it is once you get in that plane, the only way you're getting down is if you jump. And I was just, but by that time I got so comfortable. I was in a moment of zen. Everybody there on the plane just told me, just calm down. It's going to be fine. And I remember they opened that window and I, like I said, I had a, I was a tandem jump. So I was attached to someone, to my instructor. Yep. So we jumped and literally you're falling in the sky. And like, for the first, I would say 2 or 3 seconds, you're going like, it's like a,
your mind, a roller coaster.
Your mind is like, what is going on? And then finally, you just like,
reach a point where you can enjoy it.
You're enjoying the fall. And then, you know, they pull the ripcord and next thing you know, it turns into a hot air balloon ride for like 20 minutes. And that's the best part. Like the 20 minute ride over, I looked at the whole entire like Northern California wine vineyards and things like that, which was cool. But yeah, that's that was my story on how I got suckered into skydiving, fellas.
Kirk, would you do it again? Because I say it because about a year and a half ago I did it, and I same thing, just kind of tried it, and the way, the same way you described it, but you know, obviously different. My story was different. I wanted to go do it, so I just said I'd try it. But would you do it again, or is it like, no, I did it, I'm good?
I think I did it, I'm done.
The
only thing that I'm the only thing that I'm upset about, fellas, the only thing that I'm upset about is that it was such an adrenaline rush. I loved every bit of it, and I told a few guys on my team. One guy who I told, he'll remain nameless, but he's pretty famous. He goes out and he says he didn't tell me, but I remember I was about a month later. He came back and said, hey, you know, I went skydiving. I said, what? You didn't tell me. Where'd you go? He said, I scouted. I scouted. And he said he ended up jumping with some of the skill trained Navy guys, or Navy guys, Air Force guys in San Diego. So he went down with the Air Force guys in San Diego, and he was actually with trained like U.S. professionals, like military professionals.
The real deal.
So he was like, oh, man. And he, I saw the video and he's doing flips and jumps and they're holding hands. And I'm like, my video ain't nothing like that. So shout out to, I gotta go find that video, by the way, because I have it on video. But his was like, it just basically blew mine out of the water. And I was like, that's what I get for telling people.
All right. Well, look, it's on Magnetic on Netflix. I mean, you want to talk about extreme athletes? It's pretty crazy. So it's one of their top tens right now on Netflix. But that's a hilarious story, Kirk. I mean, I don't know if I would do it again, but it's like you did it, you tried it, so you kind of got that one off the list, and you go from there. Okay, Jess, you
now
have
I gotta try it.
Jess, you by the way, you should try it. You should definitely try it. You got a list of things that happened. This day in history, right? Let's do this.
Oh,
when
boy,
we come back, let's go to break real quick. When we come back, Jess, I know there's some big ones from a sports perspective. I want to talk about that when we come back next. Plus, in a little bit, Kirk, we haven't even talked about Colin Kaepernick yet and where you think and if you think he's eventually going to land. So we'll do that. But let's do this day in sports history. And we when we come back, Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison right here on 710 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
All right, Alan Sliwa here with Kirk Morrison. Going till 9 o'clock. You could hear by that open. And, Jess, if you can set up this day in sports history, I know there's some things that have nothing to do with sports, but 10 years ago today, the Los Angeles Lakers beat the Boston Celtics Game 7 at Staples Center. Kobe gets his fifth ring. Kirk, do you remember, by the way, I mean, I know you grew up in the Bay Area, but how much do you remember that NBA championship? The Lakers-Celtics and Kobe getting it.
I remember it a lot. Just because I was now, you know, I came down to Southern California in 2000. So pretty much the Lakers were the squad, right? All my friends were from Southern California. So you live through the three-peat moments. I will definitely tell you I've benefited from going to some of the after parties in Los Angeles to commemorate the Lakers winning championships. But I remember just that run because I call it the non-Shaq years. The non-Shaq years were different. Oh, right? Yeah. They were rough in the beginning. Then, you know, some things were just really rocky. Phil comes back on board. And one of the
Pau Gasol comes to the Lakers.
I mean, it was just totally different, you know. And then so I actually had a chance to go to a couple of those games, right, especially against the Celtics. It was fun, man. It really was. It was a fun time to be at Staples Center because it was just Kobe. It was Kobe's squad, man.
It was nerve-wracking. I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, aside from fun, right, but Game 7, that game specifically, you know what's actually funny? You know, you're thinking about looking at the time right now, and if this was 10 years ago, right around this time, I think they were, you know, they're probably in the second half right now, right? Or maybe just starting the fourth quarter.
Right.
The game probably started at 6 o'clock or whatever the case is. I just remember freaking pacing up and down at Staples Center. And we were up I'm not a fan of watching with other people. It's uncomfortable when that's your squad, right? Like you want your team to win. Growing up, I always watched Lakers, but I always watched by myself because I can yell by myself. I could be angry. If I'm happy, I could just walk outside and see, you know, my parents are also enjoying the W. So I'm like, okay, we got it. You know, everything's good. That game, you couldn't get away. Everywhere you walked, and it was so tense. You know, that game was so tense, that game seven. And then they finally won. And there's this, you know, there's this, you were so proud for Kobe, right? Like, this was so big for Kobe Bryant because it also not only was his fifth NBA championship, not only did he pass Shaq, not only did he then beat the Boston Celtics. Like, it was such an incredible moment. And I know a lot of Laker fans look back, and it's crazy that it's already 10 years. That was my first year working at ESPN, too. When Lakers won that my first year, I'm like, I'm good. You could fire me now. I already won. I already won, Kirk.
Yeah.
That was big time.
I mean, that was a good one. Yeah, that was like you mentioned, it was against the Celtics. Right, and this was the team that had beaten you the year prior. Right, was that year prior?
2008. So
2008. I'm so
2009. Lakers come back. Lakers, they beat Orlando, and then they beat Boston.
Yeah, then they beat Boston. I remember the 08 one. That was a tough one. That 08 one was it was rough. And then when they beat Orlando, that's when Trevor Ariza was on the team. So
Trevor Ariza was there. That's right. Yeah. Meta was on the one in 2010.
On 2010, yeah. So a lot of the guys who, you know, I'm still in the National Football League in this time, and, you know, you start to go to certain places around Los Angeles, you bump into certain guys, and you hang out with them for a little bit, and you just knew. But the funny thing was we always had this running joke about, you know, the teams that would come to Los Angeles. Right, and you just knew that the Sunday night, the teams that came off of a Sunday night or played Monday, or actually the Sunday games, like you got to make sure that those players weren't going out because you come to L.A. and it was, you had to, like, I remember one time it was the Denver Nuggets. I don't know what series this was, Alan. Mm-hmm. I remember I was out Saturday night. We out, me and my buddies having a good time. Remember, this is all NFL offseason, so I'm allowed to go out, you know, and have an adult beverage or two.
Listen, so, you're an NFL player. Right?
No.
In your prime. Don't just let me say this, all right? Yeah. In your prime, it's the off season, Kirk Morrison. Damn right you should be out. Okay,
right.
Go ahead. Continue.
But I remember we went out and I saw a couple of Denver Nuggets players out. And I'm like, man, don't y'all got a game tomorrow against the Lakers?
Was that the Carmelo years? Carmelo and Chauncey and them?
Yeah. I shall say, I will leave names out of this.
You have to say anything.
I
you
just know,
know
that. I just know that come Sunday, Lakers destroyed them. It was bad. And I'm like, how? And I realized why. And I realized a lot of people remember. I remember I seen the audio of this at the time at live when it happened. Mm-hmm. Remember when Kobe Bryant was telling everybody, give me all your phones, throw all your phones in here. Mm-hmm. Have your wives, your girlfriend, mama, grab, make sure they handle all the tickets. It's no distractions. It's what it is. Mm-hmm. And I remember that, how the intensity of Kobe, right? The intensity of these moments and how he wanted no distractions, how he knew he needed focus from the first, I mean, from the last person all sure. the way through himself. Like, these were intense moments. And it kind of goes back, Alan, to what I talked about or what we've talked about throughout this show. Like, how many guys are going to have that mindset of being in Orlando and mm. understanding that the only reason we are here is for 3 months, okay, to win a championship and get out? That's what we're here for. Like, how many guys are going to be able to maintain that focus, that love the game that much, that want to put a ring on that finger and be, let your team live on forever, right? That team will never be defeated at the end. Like, you win a championship, that team lives forever.
And I'm just going to throw out,
how many guys are going to be focused on that?
I'm just going to throw out, Kirk, just a couple names. Maybe they were on this roster. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they were on this team. Maybe they weren't. Chris Anderson, Al yeah. Harrington, Kenyon Martin. You know, maybe they're on that. Maybe they're on that team. Maybe they weren't. J.R. Smith. There's another yeah. name I'm just going to throw out there. How about that squad? Yeah, okay.
Exactly. You're naming some guys. I will not confirm nor deny.
Or deny. I like it. I like it. Jess, what else happened this day in history?
Kirk pleads the fifth, definitely. So this day in 1994, there's actually a lot of things that happened in 1994, but I think the mm-hmm. biggest thing we all remember from June 17th, 1994 was the O.J. Simpson police chase.
Kirk, isn't that kind of crazy that's how you said that was 1994?
1994. I always remember where you always remember where you were.
I do remember where I was.
I remember mm-hmm. where I was. I remember where I was. It was a Friday night. That's how I know. It was a Friday night. I had a baseball game that night. Friday night was a baseball game I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember after the baseball game was over. And, you know, my mom was there, and then she said, we got to get home. OJ running. He's in a cop car, you know, and this is,
wow.
You know, this is no social media. This is no sure. cell phones. You know,
but it was
this
on
is,
every this was just TV on, network.
The only way you mm-hmm. could see this was on the television.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all word of mouth. You weren't getting up to date things like that. It was just like OJ Simpson is running with a gun to his head. That's all we knew.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we knew. And I remember that just because I was 12 years old. I just mm-hmm. finished a baseball game. And like I just remember the stomach, the feeling that I had was like, wow. Like that, because we all knew who OJ was. I mean, at the time, I was a big Naked Gun fan, right? So I mm-hmm. knew him more from the
from the movies than
the
football field.
In the football, mm-hmm. yeah. Unreal. I think everybody always remembers where they were at that time. And now, you know, it's sometimes I also get an eerie feeling too when mm-hmm. I drive around some of the places in which, you know, where a lot of it occurred, right? I know one of the mm-hmm. places that I go by UCLA a lot, and you go
it was in Brentwood. That's right, the Brentwood area.
Yeah, when you go over the 405 in Sunset, and I remember watching the documentary, one of the many documentaries, but just seeing all the signs and people who were waiting for OJ to pass by. And I'm like, you look at that overpass now, and I'm just like, golly.
Want to hear something crazy? Want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
The new, you know, Ford is coming out with a new Bronco, new Ford Bronco. Did you
yes,
know that?
Yes.
Do you know when it's coming out?
I believe I saw it. I don't know OJ's actual birth date, but I did see something about his birth date.
July 9th, OJ Simpson's birthday.
July 9th?
Wow. Yep. Come on now.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, that's impossible. Obviously, they're not basing it towards that. I don't think I'll ever look at a, you know, Ford Bronco without thinking of that chase. So, all right, let's do this when we come back, Kirk. I gotta get your thoughts. We spent all this time, and I had all this stuff lined up football wise, and we just kind of, the show flowed. We keep trying to keep everybody posted on what's going on in baseball. We talked some NBA, but Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn talked a little bit about Colin Kaepernick. I want to spend some time talking about that. Also, is this the time for Cap to get in the league? Because it was you about 3 weeks ago that was telling me that you thought he could still play in the league. Now there's more kind of that conversation, that dialogue. So let's do that when we come back. Kirk Morrison, Alan Sliwa, stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Kirk, what was it? Did you ever get a chance to figure it out? Labor baby, what's it called?
Labor. Just don't tell me about the labor. Just show me the baby.
That's what it is.
I guess. That's what it is. Right, I still didn't look it up yet. Don't show me.
I'm telling you, don't bother looking it up. You're good. All right. That's it. You got it down the way you want it, and that's it. Okay, so you get a chance. By the way, Curtis, see if you have it in there. Chargers coach Anthony Lynn. I know there was – see if that sound is there. If it's not, I got the quote where he talks about Colin Kaepernick. I'll read – actually, let me read this off, all right? So the conversation is about Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. I haven't spoken with Colin. Not sure where he's at as far as in his career, what he wants to do. But Colin definitely fits the style of quarterback for the system that we're going to be running. I'm very confident and happy with the three quarterbacks that I have, but you can never have too many people waiting on the runway. He also said it would be crazy if Colin Kaepernick wasn't on the workout list, and I'm sure he's talking about multiple right. teams and so forth. Okay, so what do you think happened, Kirk? Do teams now feel more comfortable with saying, yeah, let's give Kaepernick a crack here? And just because it's more unified, I guess you can say, just now it's more accepted around the league? Or do you feel there's pressure to work him out? Like, how do you think the scenario is playing out in the NFL now, the way teams will treat Colin Kaepernick to see if he will get a legitimate shot at having an opportunity of playing with a team?
Well, I mean, honestly, it's a situation where it's the cool thing to do right now, right? Not it's the in vogue.
I know what you mean
now.
I know what you mean. Know? Yep. Like you were saying earlier, all those corporate sponsors, all those corporate companies saying, "Yeah, let's post something on Twitter." There, that's the thing to do.
It's acceptable, right? I mean, it's accepted. I should say it's accepted now. It wasn't accepted a couple years ago. I mean, I've known guys, you know, personal friends of mine who took a knee and had, you know, endorsements stripped away, you know, had death threats and had, you know, just all kind of bad things thrown their way. And you know, ultimately, you know, aren't in the league anymore. Colin Kaepernick stood for something that he believed in. Well, I should say he kneeled for something that he believed in. And a lot of owners probably just couldn't really get on board with that because of, I believe, the fear of 45. Yeah. Okay. The president, you know, tweeting directly at players, you know, get those, you know, SOBs off
the
field.
Get them out of the league. Yep.
Get them out of here. Stand. Like that. That was uncharted waters for a lot of people and no one knew how to handle it. Right. But I think over time that those same threats, like, all right, we're used to it. Like, whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, after a while, it's like, come on, man. Like,
well, really? There's more power now the other way. There's correct. Now there's more power of, you know, players.
It's more
feel
power
like-
in the unity. Mm-hmm. See, before, the unity was not there. It was, okay, there's a players coalition. There's this and that. Now players are like, no, I'm putting out this PSA. We're putting out that the face of the league is Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And they put out and saying, hey, Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some things going on in our country that we just aren't comfortable with. And we want our league to have our backs. And now the NFL realizes that. I just haven't seen the owners. See, the guy that falls on the sword is Roger Goodell for the owners. Mm-hmm. When he speaks, he's not speaking as Roger Goodell. He's speaking with 32 owners on his
as back. A mouthpiece.
As mm-hmm. the mouth. That's what he gets paid to do.
Rob Manfred. The mouthpiece.
That's what he
yep.
is. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so now I think with Colin Kaepernick possibly getting the opportunity, yes, he deserves one. He's always deserved one. Mm-hmm. Right. And I've said this. I just want him to get an opportunity to compete. Nothing should be given to him. Nothing. He shouldn't just be signed just to be on a roster. Let's put the ball out there. I love that analogy. Roll the ball out there and we'll see who's the best one. Roll it out there. Let's see. Because obviously when I look at the Chargers, does he fit some of the things that they do? Yes. But you just drafted Justin Herbert. So that's sure. Your future. Okay. Yeah. You spent the first round draft choice on a top seven pick on a quarterback in Justin Herbert. You're mm-hmm. using that pick. All right. So sorry, Colin Kaepernick, as good as you may be, great flirtation by, you know, obviously the Chargers, but you're not surpassing Justin Herbert. They've already secured their future with him, and they've got at least 3 to 4 years to figure out what they have. Now, Easton Stick and Tyrod Taylor, I mean, I don't know about what they got going on, but mm-hmm. I still would feel more comfortable with them right now than Colin sure. Kaepernick.
Cap's been out for, you know, 4 years. And
correct.
It's fair to say, okay, well, maybe that one of 32 teams, okay, maybe that's not the best fit, but there certainly can be other teams. I guess, you know, for me, Kirk, and I think this is part of the question is, okay, it's more acceptable now. It's more right. acceptable to have more those acceptable. Conversations. It's correct. More acceptable to give Colin Kaepernick an opportunity. Ireland actually wanted me to ask you this question.
Sure.
Do you think Cap, do you think he wants to play? Like, do you think there's still that he has – it's amazing that since he left the league, how much he's been influential off the football field versus on the football field. Right?
Right.
When he was on the field, he made a stance. They blackballed him for it. His message got stronger and stronger over time. And here we are today. Do you think this is – I know this is just your opinion, but do you think Cap – this is what Cap wants? Like, do you think Cap wants to come back to the NFL to have something to prove? Or do you feel that, you know, what he's discovered in his time off is actually – it's bigger, more meaningful, more powerful?
No, he wants to come back. And I think he wants to come back to prove to everyone that he can play in this league, that his skills aren't diminished. I think a lot of people forget that the 49ers were a bad football team. A lot of people say it was because of Cap and his diminishing play, but I don't see it that way, right? He had different coaches, right? Put it like this. I'll ask you a question. Sorry to put you on the spot, Alan. Got to put you on the spot.
Do
you know who his coach was when his last year in San Francisco?
His last year, no, but I know.
You know, I know who it is.
Getting to the Super Bowl was Harbaugh.
Who was it, Jesse?
It was Chip Kelly.
It was Chip Kelly. Think about how long ago that was.
Mm-hmm. His last game.
His last game. Chip Kelly's at UCLA, Rams, right?
Yep.
Against the Rams, yes. See, that's how long ago that it – and
coaching is everything. We know that. Ownership is everything. I mean, that's a huge part of your success.
Mm-hmm. Correct. I just say this. I think if you give him an opportunity to compete for a job, there is no doubt in my mind he's going to win that job as a backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Not even looking forward to, but a possibility to be a starter in the future. And I look at the Rams. I look at the city of Los Angeles.
You mentioned that, by the way, 3 weeks ago, nobody was talking about it, and that's one of the teams that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I just look at what the Rams have on their roster. I've seen Josh Love, undrafted free agent. I've seen Bryce Perkins, undrafted free agent. And for some people who are hearing these names for the first time, these are the backup quarterbacks on the Rams roster. I don't even have the roster in front of me. I just know their names.
Mm-hmm.
And John Wolford, who actually had to play Lamar Jackson last year in practice before they played the Ravens, and we saw what the Ravens still were able to do against the Rams defense. But so you've had and actually you played Kyler Murray too, who's about the same height as Kyler Murray. But those are three guys right now that combined, those three players combined, do not Colin Kaepernick doubles in NFL experience. Those guys haven't even thrown a pass in an NFL game. And if the Rams are serious about possibly having a backup quarterback, man, there's no doubt in my mind that Colin Kaepernick, man, can compete with those three guys and come out as the Rams backup quarterback. So that's the team that I see.
So Kirk, let's stay with the Rams for a quick second. So you're saying from a purely football perspective, right?
Correct.
We know Jared Goff. We know the contract that he has. We know that the Rams are as committed to him as any quarterback in the NFL. All right.
Yes,
and correct. The money speaks that says that.
Right.
But from a purely football perspective, what you're saying is at the very least, Kaepernick should get an opportunity to be a backup quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams, because the quarterbacks that are back there, and this season's going to be like no other, because
right.
you can have this season, you could have Jared Goff feeling good and healthy, but COVID-19 spreads to a couple players and Goff has to sit out for 7 to 14 days, right? That could happen. That's not this is just part of the world that we're living in. You can have a more experienced backup quarterback. Now, I don't know where, you know, obviously Colin Kaepernick is today and he hasn't played. Everybody's been saying the amount of years it's been since he last played. For somebody like you who's played in the NFL, you know, who has these relationships, understands the game inside and out, you didn't hesitate when I asked you this 3 weeks ago of whether you thought Kaepernick can still play in the league. You said, of course he can. No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
You think the Rams give him a chance? You think some of these other teams will give him a chance? Or do you still feel like we're still kind of battling that until a team actually says, let's bring him into camp and let's give him a legitimate shot?
Well, I would say this right now. It's a hot button topic. Everyone's talking about it. But we're still, like I mentioned with you about the NBA, we're still so far away. 6 weeks is a long time, right? You can get on the fad diet before then, right? And probably lose about 20 pounds, which I need to. and really, you know, have a totally different take on where we're at right now, meaning that, you know, there is no rush to sign Colin Kaepernick right now. But as training camp approaches and you're serious about that position and competing, right? That's what coaches and personnel, that's what their job is, to compete. And mm-hmm. I believe that if you allow Colin Kaepernick the right to compete for that job with what some of these teams have on their roster, come on, man. Let's be real. Let's go.
I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen. Curtis, Kirk, I had Curtis just tell me we've got a few minutes or a few less than a minute left here. Kirk, appreciate you doing this. So for those who will fill you in, so every Tuesday, every Wednesday, for at least until basketball comes back, it will be myself and Kirk Morrison. Kirk, always appreciate doing this, buddy. So thanks for doing this, all right?
Hey, man. Alan, always a pleasure, my man.
All right, we are back tomorrow starting at 6:30. Stay right here, Sliwa Show.